Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
As always, on a Wednesday, we get wisdom from Dr. Ruth Freeman as part of Green Scene. Today, we're going to hear about the grey whale population and how they've shrunk in size. And we're going to start with massive migrations. So, welcome, Ruth. Good to see you.
Good morning, Abby.
The wildebeest. I love those documentaries where it shows them jumping into the river and the first one to go and how they survived the crocodiles and so on. So tell us about the big migrations, because antelopes are also on the move.
They are, and zebras as well, as you said. And we've, a lot of us have seen particularly this great eastern migration in Africa, where all of these herbivores travel from, you know, between Tanzania and Kenya, and they cross the Serengeti and the Masai Mara. And there's about 2 million animals that are crossing in that, between those two points every year. And from, we thought that was the biggest migration of these large mammals. But we've learned something new. So science never fails to disappoint us. So these 2 million animals that are travelling backwards and forwards have now been dwarfed by another migration that's taking place between South Sudan and Ethiopia. And this South Sudanese migration, we always, up until a few years ago, we thought there was about just over 1 million animals making that trip up and down. But last year, one of the African parks groups decided to get some data about this. So they sent up two planes into the sky, and they were fitted out with special cameras, and they were able to take a photograph every 2 seconds, and they flew over this area between South Sudan and Ethiopia, and they ended up taking over 330,000 images, which they gave to research teams in the University of Juba in South Sudan. And the researchers analysed all of those pictures, and they counted the different animals. And what they found was that there was 5 million different animals making this journey. And this is, as you said, it's mostly antelopes. So there's antelopes like white-eared cobs, these beautiful antelopes with big black horns that go back over their bodies, tiangs, Mongala gazelle, and reed buck. So these are all the antelope, but then alongside them, the zebras, the wildebeest. They saw elephants, loads of animals making this massive journey.
So our peak grazing season is Patrick's Day to maybe October, where the cows go out and the sheep and the bovine animals. In this case, they're going from one area that's plentiful with plains of grass to another area. Is it a different kind of...
That's right, it's a cycle.
Spring is different seasons.
That's right, it's a cycle. So they move backwards and forwards. It's essentially like a corridor where they follow, where they can get food and water as they travel. But of course, what's incredible is just that we didn't know about this. And of course, because this area of Africa has, you know, been plagued by a lot of conflict, you know, it's an area that's been hard for researchers to get into, to see what's going on. So it's just really fascinating to me that we are seeing this huge traffic.
It is fascinating, and the numbers are incredible. Now, the other thing that I notice is when I go for my beach walks around about August, September, I notice the birds are coming together, and birds that appear and have their little nests in the sand, be the swallows or whatever, they're all migrating away. And then we have geese come in the... But so migration, have we tracked the migration of birds?
Absolutely. And birds really are the champion migrants, because when we look at the distances these mammals are going, it's a couple of thousand kilometres. But birds are the ones that make the biggest migrations. And in fact, it's the Arctic tern which makes the world's longest migration. That's over 55,000 miles. It goes all the way from the Arctic to the Antarctic, crossing the whole globe.
How do they have the energy? The size of these little birds.
I know, it's quite, and how do they find their way there and back? Yeah. I mean, they're using things like magnetic field.
Do we know that yet? Do they have radar in their GPS in their head?
They use things like the Earth's magnetic field. They use the stars. They use lots of different things to navigate. And we also see that's the longest flight. But in terms of a single non-stop flight, it's the bar-tailed godwit. And they travel between New Zealand and China. And in one single flight without landing, they go nearly 7,000 kilometres.
Bar-tailed godwit.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd learned that this morning.
Yeah.
So another thing I didn't know about are these grey whales.
Yeah.
Tell me about them. They're in the Pacific. So what country are they close to in the Pacific?
Well, they're off the...
Is it America? Yeah, we're talking the south and north?
They're off the coast of North America, okay. Off California. And I mean, it's a great place to go and watch whales, and they've been well studied. But in the eastern, there's lots of different studies which looks at groups of these whales, because they do tend to stay in groups, maybe of a few hundred animals. But in recent years, there's a group that's been watched. And this is research that came from the University of St. Andrews. And what they did was they have a lot of drone footage of these whales that has been accumulated over the last number of years. And what they noticed was something quite strange and unexplained. So these whales are huge. You know, they can grow to about 13 metres long. But over the course of the last 20 years or so, they've reduced their body size by about 13%. So that's 1.6 metres. They're 1.6 metres smaller today than they were back in 2016, which is a phenomenally fast change to see. And it's particularly in the females. So we don't really know why this is happening. It's happening too quickly, probably, to be. It's not a result of evolutionary pressures, but nonetheless, it could be an adaptation to the issues that the whales are facing. So it seems to be related to the conditions the mother faces before she gives birth. So perhaps if mothers have less food, you know, it may be related to the sort of ocean conditions that they're facing. So a bit like, you know, we talk about the Atlantic, the North Atlantic Drift Current. And there's a number of these big ocean currents, which you see changes maybe over decades between warm periods and cool periods. And there's one in the Pacific as well, which has this kind of cyclical effect. So, you know, that may be impacting on the ability of the whales to eat, the ability of the whales to relax and to travel.
But if the whales are smaller, you know, that and €2.50 will get you a cup of coffee and insomnia, as I say. Like, what's the scientific impact of this? Is it the impact of warming seas, of different temperatures, the food going to the top or the bottom, that this would have long-term, might affect the species?
Well, it may well, because body size does have an impact on your reproductive health. And in fact, seeing smaller calves being born and smaller mothers isn't a good thing in terms of the overall sort of status of the species. And you know, we're seeing it more and more that species...
In other species. They're getting smaller.
Well, many seem to be getting smaller. So, for example, polar bears in the last 20 years have shrunk to two-thirds the size they were. And this isn't evolution because it's happening too quickly, but it's animals probably just not getting the resources that they need. And the same thing would happen in people. I mean, if you have a child that just doesn't get the right level of nutrition, it's going to end up being a smaller adult than one that does. So what we're seeing is changes in body size in large mammals. And we don't know exactly why it's happening, but it's certainly something we should be keeping an eye on.
But even more worryingly, Ruth, is that the appendages of some of these are changing size. The mast shrew, the tail and leg have increased. Tell me what's happening there. Well, it's not only smaller, but it's different shapes.
Well, of course, one way that animals get rid of their heat, I mean, think of the elephant flapping their ears, is these big appendages. So if you're faced with hotter temperatures and you need to cool down, having bigger ears, a longer tail, maybe a bigger beak might help you to cool down. And certainly we are seeing patterns of that in things like parrots, bats and shrews. So animals are changing shape.
Never cease to be fascinated. Dr. Ruth Freeman of Science Foundation Ireland, SFI, thank you for those valuable insights. Right, a reminder, all our items are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud.